This is Annuity Straight Talk. Since 2008, your host, Brian Anderson, has helped clients nationwide navigate the complex market for annuities. With Brian's assistance, hundreds of clients have achieved a profitable and secure retirement. I would know, because Brian has answered many of my questions concerning annuities and retirement planning. So that you can benefit as well, let's get started. Here's Brian.
Hello, my name is Brian Anderson, and I'm here with the Annuity Straight Talk podcast. Founder and creator is myself, and I have an esteemed co-host. His name is Ashok. He comes from Seattle. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
I am Ashok Ramji with Top Planning. Actually, my office is in Kirkland. And for those of you who go to Costco, you probably see that Kirkland brand. Well, Kirkland, Washington is just east of Seattle, and that's where you'll find me.
Well, and I don't actually have a town that I claim as my own. I just consider myself Northwest Montana. So when I say Kirkland, I mean Seattle as well.
That's right. The greater Seattle, Kirkland area. And Montana.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So Ashok, you had a great idea for a presentation today based on what we talked about last time. And you said, let's go ahead and talk about long-term care. And you are an expert in the long-term care arena, whether it be insurance or annuities. So why don't you let us know what you think?
Sure. So I am, one of the things that I do is I'm a member of the EdSlot Elite Advisor Group. There's about 400 advisors around the country. And what we really focus on are IRAs. And we try to figure out how to do some planning around individual retirement accounts. Because by and large, when many people are working, they have a 401k. And then when they leave that place of employment, they'll roll over that asset into an IRA. And IRAs are different types of accounts. They have specific types of rules. So sometimes we're always figuring out what are some things we can do for long-term planning. And so to that end, and we're going to put this reprint up on the Annuity Straight Talk podcast, but I have a brand new article dated June of 2021. The headline is Long-Term IRA Planning for Long-Term Care. Another way of referring to long-term care might be extended care, but the big picture idea is that when someone has trouble performing, usually we call it two out of the six activities for daily living. There are six activities. There are bathing, eating, dressing, toileting, transferring, incontinence. These are things that we do normally as young adults and we take for granted. But as we get older, typically, as especially people are living longer, we have some trouble performing those activities. Or there may be what's called cognitive decline, where we start forgetting certain things. So under the Health Insurance and Portability and Accountability Act of 1996, the federal law codified basically that most long-term care insurance policies will look for two of these six activities for daily living in order to be what's called tax qualified. So there's some standardization now in the industry in terms of what they're looking for. And my article basically said, okay, if you have an IRA or something that's qualified money, when you have a long-term care incident where you can't perform those things, and the long-term care is extremely expensive, how are you going to be able to start funding that? And one of the issues is that if your money is overwhelmingly in a qualified money place, when you take those assets out, by and large, you've got to pay taxes on them, and it becomes that sort of, it's like on the treadmill. The more you run, the more taxable income is coming out. So that's why we were doing some planning.
Right, of course. And if I may jump in a little bit, like this is obviously not at all a comfortable topic for a lot of people to talk about. And so we understand the personal nature of thinking about the situations where you would require long-term care, you know, the two out of the six ADLs. And the idea with this is to talk about the financial side of it, how you plan for it so that you can be in control of it and you don't have to rely on someone else to do it. Is that fair to say, Ashok?
Absolutely.
Do you want to take control or do you want somebody else to decide what happens with you when, boy, I'm 42 years old, I'm getting old, right? And I love to be independent and I love to take care of my own problems. whatever they may be, and I'm not facing long-term care by any means, but I guess we never know. But the point is, like, take control of what you can, and we're going to try to talk about some, maybe some real efficient ways to do that in cases where it may or may not be viable, right? Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, someone may decide, well, I'm going to buy a product, maybe or maybe not. But at the end of the day, you might have a plan. So the product may be part of the plan, but it's just like anything where we buy car insurance, we have homeowners insurance. Insurance plays that role because if that contingency materializes and comes out of left field, hopefully there's some sort of plan to address it. By and large, the two biggest payers of extended care or long-term care are friends and family. And it's an idea to have people like that, friends and family, provide the care, they're caregivers, but they're unpaid. And that usually means that they give up career advancement. The other major payer right behind friends and family is Medicaid. And what's happening, for example, we were saying earlier, where am I located? I'm in Washington State. Washington State has the first program in the nation right now. We're starting January of 2022. They are going to start taking money out of W-2 wage earners' paychecks. It's 0.058%. So if someone's making $100,000, $580 would go per year towards long-term care. It's a state fund. Why are they doing this? Is because the states are the ones that are involved with Medicaid. And unfortunately, they're spending a lot of money. So they're trying to develop a system where they can have worker money that is hopefully shoring up the system.
Okay, that makes sense. So fair to say that regulators and lawmakers are concerned about the problem as well. So there's no reason why any average consumer shouldn't also be there.
Agreed. And so what we could do is show some ideas of where some of the tools that we use in our businesses could be used to plan for these things. And
yeah, so why don't we start with pure long-term care insurance, Ashok? And you know more about it than I do. I understand it's an issue and I think I can evaluate a contract pretty well and talk about it, but give us some of your thoughts since you did have a published article on the topic.
Sure. So traditional long-term care insurance is an idea where every month I'll give you an example, they may reimburse for $3,000 a month. It's $100 per day. You'll have to wait usually for what's called an elimination period of about 90 days. Remember, long-term care is something where you're not expected to be able to perform something for the long term, and it's measured as a 90-day period. So it's not just temporary. Like
if you can't put your socks on.
Correct.
And
it's expected
to last.
You
can't brush your teeth to be PG about it, right?
Yeah. So if it's expected to last for a while, that's where you'll trigger benefits, and then the insurance company will reimburse for the monies that were spent. And the biggest issue that we see is that if someone is buying a policy now, and typically policies, from my experience, are purchased maybe in one's 50s, the median age of claim is 83. So we're thinking about a 30-year time frame before someone goes on claim. So there's an important thing to have benefits compound. If I buy a policy today and it has $3,000 in reimbursements, if I don't go on claim until, say, 2051, and it's 2021 now, $3,000 now is not going to be the same as $3,000 in 2051. So we need to have some what we call compounding of benefits so that we're maintaining our purchasing power.
Yeah, so what you're hinting at is like you could pay for a long, long time. You've got to do a calculation to see what the true benefit of that investment would be over time.
Correct. You don't know whether you're going to go on claim or not. And the statistics show most people do go on claim. But there's a chance we as individuals, we don't like really discussing this subject. And maybe we live a long, fruitful life and we don't ever encounter this issue. So that may be a feeling of, I have this discussion all the time. It's like, well, I pay for car insurance every year and my car, I have a perfect record. So why am I, you have to pay for car insurance. And in Washington, it's becoming a thing. You have to have long-term care insurance.
Wow. That's interesting. I think about it like my grandmother is going to be 91 next week and she's doing just fine on her own, taking care of stuff. but she is the toughest person I know, and I'm not kidding. Like, she's tough. Like, she might live to, you know, her mind's slipping a little bit, but she might live to 105. There's no telling at this point. I mean, I guess the longer life goes, the more likely it is that you'll receive it. And I can tell you, grandma wants to be around as long as she can now. And it might mean 5 years in a home or an assisted living facility if she cannot take care of herself, unless her daughters want to do it. But that's part of the question, right? Again, taking control over things.
It's a good thing to have at least some planning, maybe, that is from a long-term care insurance policy. It's not to say that her daughter, for example, couldn't also help, but it's another tool in the toolbox to be providing assistance.
But it's not ideal to have the daughter help, right?
Correct.
Because she gives up. It impositions the, that would be my aunt. It would imposition her. Or she would take her from her other productive activities. And yeah, anyway, so not to spend too much time on that specific example, but because we're not there yet and we're going to have a party next week. So
now here's the thing is that it's a good thing to have. I'll tell you that this feature, the compounding of benefits that I've been discussing, is very good. Just to give the, say, another view of it, is these contracts are what are called guaranteed renewable. So if the carrier is experiencing more claims than they're receiving in premiums, they can go to the insurance commissioner and say, can we raise prices all across the board for this business, for this particular policies? And they won't single a single person out. So that's where long-term care insurance does really well, but there's always that potential with a guaranteed renewable
contract. Yeah, and I think I've seen that problem with people that come to me for other issues where they say, well, we've got long-term care insurance, and I know Genworth was a big, we're not doing a whole lot on company specific, but it's fair to say Genworth was a big player in the long-term care market for a long time. And if they bought it when they're mid-50s and now they're in their mid to late 60s, they're questioning, well, was should I keep it? Because it started out at $300 a month and now it's $750 a month. And I have a hard time telling them what to do because there's so much invested in that already. But I mean, and I think, Ashok, this is a perfect opportunity to say, there are alternatives. And I'll point out another story with a person I was working with who said, we like the idea of long-term care insurance, but my dad, this was his dad, said he had long-term care insurance and he paid these big premiums forever. And then he passed away peacefully in his sleep at 87, living by himself, doing just fine. And then all of that money was gone. So maybe you can tell everybody, is there an option to provide for long-term care where the money is not lost?
There are certain return of premium features that can be put on as a rider for a long-term care insurance policy.
Well, I'm talking about maybe some of the alternative strategies, right?
So then if we were to exit the long-term care insurance discussion, now we start looking at things like life insurance. And before we do that, just a second to say, though, this is Annuity Straight Talk. If you like what you're hearing here, there's a phone number to go to, because I know we're going to get a few minutes into this on life insurance, right?
You got the brash guy right here. You got the reasonable guy over west of me in Seattle. He's sharp. He's smart. We both know what we're doing. 800-438-5121. Hit Annuity Straight Talk. Schedule a call. Meet with either one of us or send us an email.
So now let's talk a little about another tool that's very powerful, is where you can use a life insurance policy. This is permanent cash value life insurance. I'm not talking about term. And it may have a rider on there where it has the advantage of, if long-term care is never needed, then it provides a death benefit. But if someone is living and now they trigger benefits because they, for example, cannot perform two of the six activities for daily living, now they can take that death benefit and it becomes a pool of benefits while they are living. So it now serves two features.
Well, and then the second feature would be you can also do some legacy planning with that as well. And so that kind of ties in with our last episode, which we're going to tie up next week as well, or in a couple weeks when we talk about some ideas for maximizing inheritance, right? But the life insurance policy would be similar, if not the same underwriting. But when you talk about legacy planning, so a lot of people will, again, we'll go into more detail, but the life insurance policy would be the same underwriting as a long-term care policy, but is a way to retain your asset. And in the worst case scenario, actually the best case scenario would be that you never needed it, but then you passed on an even larger benefit to your heirs. Is that correct?
Correct. The underwriting is a little different because now when it comes to life insurance underwriting versus long-term care underwriting, they're a little different. But for the most part, this is what you said is spot on, that you can now do some legacy planning. But you may take those precious dollars and you can say, well, let me have them serve dual purposes. So I don't know which way life is going to go. So at least I can cover both.
Well, can
cases.
I, like, not to be super contrarian, but just a reasonable debate or discussion with us. The reason why I say I think the underwriting is similar is because the benefit on the back end is the same. Where, and just, I'll make up a number. You put $100,000 into a whole life policy that gives you $200,000 of death benefit that can be accelerated for long-term care, would be the equivalent long-term care payment for a policy if you had paid for it over several years. But in the end, the life insurance policy will leave something behind at the end. So again, I mean, I don't know that I'm right, but I think there's a mathematical calculation that can tell you the difference between those two practices of doing it.
Absolutely. Now, there's one other, before we exit the life insurance discussion, there's a new advent of certain type of life insurance policies where, for example, you might have a dollar of death benefit and you might have $3 or $4 now positioned for long-term care. Those are referred to as hybrids, sometimes combination products. So it's really life insurance and long-term care. And some of the advantages there are, remember earlier I was talking about how a traditional long-term care insurance policy could allow for what's called the compounding of benefits, where those benefits start rising over time. When you have that sort of design, where you actually have potentially way more in long-term care than life insurance, you can have that compounding of benefits. So there are some definitely new tools on the life insurance side where we could use to help people do some legacy planning and prepare for extended care. And go ahead, Brian.
No, I was going to say that, yeah, there are a lot of new options. So don't, look at the old school way of just buying a long-term care insurance policy. And a lot of times that is the best way to do it, but it depends on when you need the care. So obviously if you pay 2 months of premium, go into a 90-day elimination period, then all of a sudden you get the benefit. That was a pretty good deal, right? But I think a lot of people are scared of potentially having to pay for it for 20 years and then maybe not even ever using it. And that's why, again, where the insurance industry comes in to solve problems and like meet people halfway in some respects to say, okay, well, because it was the insurance industry that had to go and lobby Congress to get regulatory changes to allow for accelerated death benefits. Whereas if you have a $200,000 death benefit, normally you had to wait until you passed away for your beneficiaries to receive it. Whereas now in a lot of cases, you can take that death benefit while you're still living to offset costs of an unexpected nature, namely long-term care.
That's correct. Now the death benefit really becomes a living benefit.
Yeah. And then that's the correct term, the living benefit. Thank you. See, I told you he's technically smart. He's so much more smoother than I am. I just throw it out there.
But you're still always accurate. Now, there's another tool that we can use when we're doing planning. And by the way, in my article, you'll see that we talk a little bit about pooling the insurance method. There are alternatives to doing insurance. You could retain the risk. You could manage the risk. Like, for example, you could say, hey, if and when I need long-term care, I'll actually have my neighbor come and help me out so I can manage it. Try to avoid it. Statistically, it doesn't look like, the statistics are in our favor. But then we have the insurance method, the pooling method. And one of the tools that we could use is an annuity, which is very apropos because we are dealing with annuity straight talk. In my experience, the annuity can serve two roles. It could either be on the funding side or it could also be on the providing benefit side.
Right.
So what do I mean by the funding side? Let's just say someone has decided I want to use long-term care insurance. I want to use life insurance. Where are those premium payments going to come from? Someone might earmark a fund for that rainy day for long-term care and or acute medical expenses. Maybe they have that in a fixed deferred annuity. And that way they can take off a percentage every year under the flex strategy, for example, and say some of those monies go to pay the premiums. The advantage of that approach, in my opinion, and this is just one way to do it, would be that regardless of market risk, you know you can count on this is how much we're going to silo off for this. Right? And so if the market performance is poor, you don't feel like I've got to now put more money into this to accomplish those healthcare related objectives.
Yeah. And like a quick little case study reference to that, where I've been talking about the flex strategy for a lot of years, probably 10 now. And I had a couple who bought an index annuity from me in 2014, and they peeled off 40% of their portfolio rather than the 60% that a guaranteed income would require. And they knew that the 40% would keep them safe. But what happened from 2014 and 2015 is the market shot up considerably. And so that allowed them to set other things in place over time, purchased another annuity with the gains, but they have now that annuity that was 40% of their portfolio is about 20%. And it's not fitting the purpose that they had intended initially. Blessed by great market performance, they now have a substantial asset that they look at and say, we don't need long-term care because we have this real safe asset sitting here, right? And that to me is one of the benefits of doing just a really efficient strategy where it's not a long-term care policy, but they said when they actually retired, like we have this chunk sitting there. We've had all this other growth. We're happy with it. We've locked some more stuff away. We're very comfortable. Now we know that that asset is just going to be something that's safe and accessible for any type of emergency, right?
Beautiful. I mean, that's where they're retaining the risk, but they've siloed that off to a side fund that's protected from adverse market performance.
Right, where it was supposed to support income in the early years, but growth was substantial enough that they didn't need it.
It's and a good problem
to have. It's the kind of case study where it's not too uncommon with my clients. It was just, I'm so proud of what I do, and I'm so happy for them. I love them like family, and they're great people. So I'm happy to see them doing well.
If somebody wants to become family, where do they go?
AnnuitiestraightTalk.com. The green button.
They get to call a number, right?
Schedule a call. Hits my calendar. Availability dates. Sorry, it's summer. Nothing's available on Saturday now because I got things to do and I got adventures to pursue. But schedule a call on the calendar. We're going to get Ashok on there as well if you want to talk to him. Some of you might think I'm a little bit too, maybe I'm a little loud. Ashok's real reasonable, nice guy, and he knows the same things I do. We're on the same page, but you can always call 800-438-5121 if you want to just chat. My phone's on silent now, but if you want to ring me now, leave a message. I'll call you back when we're done.
Now, let's switch gears to, we've talked a little bit about annuities as a funding mechanism. You had an article from January the 11th of 2020, where we talked a little bit about long-term care and annuities. Actually, here you're talking a little bit about, well, first of all, there are some indexed annuities that can pay more money if certain benefits are triggered.
Right.
Correct?
Yeah. So there's two different ways that I know to use annuities, and you can correct me if there's a third one, but I believe there's only two. So in a lot of guaranteed income contracts, and many people are going to be aware of this because a lot of that's a big sales pitch where you're going to get X amount of income, but if you need long-term care, you're going to get 2X income, right? Where we're going to double the payment. But there's a catch to that where double the payment, if you need long-term care, only exists if there's an underlying cash value remaining in the contract, okay? And this obviously deserves a chart of its own. And this is where, you know, we can improve Ashok. We can add some interactivity where we can switch to a chart real quick and I can show you. But the underlying account value needs to grow while that money's being drawn for income. And if the account value is at zero, then the long-term care enhancement is what it's called, will not be paid. And so a lot of times that account value on the illustration will go to zero around the 17th or 18th year, in which case the average person is in their early 80s, late 70s, and that's when they might need the benefit the most. So I've always urged people not to buy annuities for that. I like to plan for it separately just because I think it's a situation where there's a lot of contracts that won't necessarily pay out what you want. And the other catch with the annuities with a long-term care enhancement to an income benefit is that it's not a qualified, and Ashok, you know what a qualified long-term care expense is, right? It's just additional income. The additional income will be additionally taxed in your highest tax bracket, where true long-term care insurance, whether through annuities or a life insurance or long-term care policy, are qualified long-term care expenses and are paid tax-free. So if you have a $3,000 a month benefit from a long-term care policy, that's going to be tax-free income. Where if you have a $3,000 a month enhancement to an income benefit from an annuity, that's $3,000 of taxable income. So it's not all what it seems. And that's, I always said, it's a nice addition if everything else in the contract does exactly what you need, right?
Correct. It's like the cherry on top, right?
Yeah.
You know, one thing I just realized was the median age for someone to go on claim for long-term care is 83, I believe. If someone's buying that contract when they're 65 or 66, 17 years later, takes in that 83 right when
the average person needs it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't think, again, like if everything else in the contract is exactly what you want, then by all means, like have that as a little cherry on top, like you said, but don't buy it specifically for that purpose. And then, okay, so that's the one way to do it, which again, it's a huge marketing tactic. Don't necessarily fall for it, because if you want to do serious planning, you call one of us. Like, we're not into sales pitches. We're into analytics and discussing options, right? And you and I do this all the time. I call Ashok when I have, hey, let me tell you what I told this guy, give you a little bit of idea what his situation is. You think I'm on the right track? You do that with me. I do that with you. And the idea
wisdom is, of the crowds.
We're trying to solve problems, and we have a lot of the tools. We don't know everything, but we know a lot, and we're here to help people no matter what. And so that's where it leads into, there are annuities that are made as a hybrid, essentially, between the safe structure of an annuity with a true long-term care benefit, where a tax-free qualified long-term benefit, right?
Correct. And now we're starting to get into, for example, and it's in my article, there were two codes from HIPAA, the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. They inserted two sections into the Internal Revenue Code. This was around the mid-90s. And one of them is section 7702B as in Bravo. And there's another one, 101G as in Golf. But you can have an annuity that is compliant with section 7702B as in Bravo. And I believe that's what you're talking about, where it can actually serve the purpose of long-term care.
Yes.
But those are very, you have to know where to look for those annuities.
Yeah. And yes, there's just a couple of them out there. Again, not naming companies, but there's a couple companies that have slightly different things, but fit inside that the 7702B. And the point being that it will require some underwriting, maybe not as much as life insurance or traditional long-term care, but it will require some underwriting. But it's a way for you to put a certain amount of money aside. I'm just going to quote a number because this is where I think it still stands. But you put X amount into the annuity, say $100,000. You put $100,000 into this annuity. You're going to have 2.5 times, which is $250,000 of long-term care payable over 5 years, which more than covers the average long-term care exposure. I think what your article had that. Do you have those numbers right in front of you? Like how long the average care experience lasts?
Absolutely. So the median age, I'm just trying to even refresh my article here, that the someone is on, for example, this is from the federal government's data. It shows that on average, men and women need care. For men, it's 2.2 years on average, and women, 3.7 years. And by the way, something that's interesting is it's usually women that go on claim for long-term care because they tend to live longer than men.
Yep.
So that's why they tend to be on claim longer.
Okay, so
and
yeah,
by the way,
go ahead. Huh? Yeah, no, go ahead.
There's another stat here. 20% of 65-year-olds may need these support services for longer than 5 years. So there's the Pareto principle, the 80-20 rule. there's going to be some 20% that may be on long-term care for a really long time.
Yeah, and that's the case. And I've seen that in my family as well, by early onset of debilitating diseases, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, people who contracted that in their early 50s who were in need of a care scenario. This is why I'm a huge believer. I had an uncle who developed Alzheimer's, very successful guy. It was unfortunate. It was hard to watch. But he had the foresight when he was in his early age to buy disability insurance and long-term care insurance. And so it was really, the benefit was that his other assets were not depleted for his wife who's left behind and his young children and all that stuff. So it's a really good idea. But again, back to the annuity portion of it, when you say 2.2 or 3.7 years, a five pay long-term care benefit, qualified tax-free distributions of that is a pretty good place to put your money if that's one of your concerns. And so I think that kind of, again, the biggest problem I've ever seen with people, I've ever heard of, is a lot of people say, well, my dad or my uncle or whoever had this policy for 25 years, died when he was 87, and never used the, and all the money was just gone. And people have told me, I'd like to have long-term care, but I don't want the money to be gone. And either life insurance or a qualified, an LTC qualified annuity is probably one of the best ways to do that. Do you agree with me?
I do. In fact, you know, with life insurance, just to give it as an easy way of thinking about it, you could structure that as what's called live, die, or quit. So if you buy a permanent cash value life insurance policy and you die, your heirs get the death benefit. So there's a legacy planning. If you needed care, then you're able to accelerate some of that death benefit and use it for long-term care. But the quit option is, if it's got a return of premium feature,
most
you don't get the interest back. Yeah, but you could say, hey, you know what? 10 years from now, 15 years from now, the financial plan has changed. Let me quit. So you can live, die, or quit. And again, this is the industry's response to people feeling like, I don't know if I want to pay on something for all that time. Right? But then a traditional life insurance policy will not have that compounding of benefits that the long-term care traditional policy has. So just like everything, you can put them up on a piece of paper and say pluses, minuses, and maybe it's a combination approach, or maybe you decide we don't want to do this at all. We'll just go with friends and family.
The idea being that a person can choose what they prefer. So it's not, we can't sit here and say, when you talk about the die or quit, whatever, right? You know, the three,
live, die, or quit.
I like that idea where you can, and I've seen the whole life policies where the guaranteed minimum, you contractually guaranteed to get your money out. So you, in 10 years, you decide, hey, I'm going to buy a motorhome. Let me take the money out. It's a way of, it's kind of like renting insurance, if you will, where you're renting it and you save that premium cost of a long-term care policy. Always had it in your back pocket. And if you decide not to use it, you can. So
I want to share a quick story because this has been kind of a, I think we shared a lot of information, but I think stories help. I have to thank my friend Claude for sharing this one. So he was saying to me that there was a woman who was maybe in her 80s or 90s, and her son always would invite mom and say, hey, can you come over? And we'd love to have you, and we haven't seen you in a while and stuff. And mom would never say, no, she would just never come along. And so the son was talking to the sister and said, hey, have you noticed that mom never wants to come anywhere or something? And she says, yeah. Well, they end up getting mom a policy, whether it was long-term care insurance or something. They did some planning. All of a sudden, mom starts getting on a plane. She's visiting them. She's seeing the grandkids and whatnot. What was it? It was peace of mind, knowing that if something were to happen to me, I didn't want to be a burden. So something like live, die, or quit, you may do that legacy planning that you've talked a lot about with Annuity Straight Talk, legacy being a key of the retirement planning. But it also just, while you're living, you just feel like, whoa, I'm independent. And if something happened to me that I couldn't perform two of the six activities of daily living, I'm not going to be a burden for my children. I'm going to have the dignity to do what I want to do, and they can go about their lives, as an example. So that's one scenario. Or quit and say, don't need this. The fixed index annuity, for example, has exceeded my expectations. I'm going to self-retain. So many options with planning.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. There's a lot of ways to do it, and none of it has to be that scary. Just set aside some money. That's what we're here to do, is just try to make things as easy as possible for people. I think we covered it pretty well, Ashok. Do you agree?
I do, and the only thing I'd just add to it is, if you want to bounce some ideas and say, this is kind of a subject I've really not wanted to address in the financial plan, how would you guys help me look at this or something? The number to call, 800-438-5121. That's 800-438-5121. Go to annuitystraighttalk.com. Green, schedule a call button. Get on our calendars. We're just happy to share some ideas and
absolutely. And this is going to come out, and probably the week following this, we're going to put Ashok's letter out as a newsletter and give it some distribution to get people's eyes on it. So just kind of a low pressure forum to talk about things, think of ideas, and get some information, right?
Yes, it gives you a chance to have a week off. I could be the guest AST contributor writer, but don't get used to it, okay? I need you to be writing your newsletters.
No, that'll give me an extra week to do something really, really good. So
we're going to hold you to it. It better be twice as good.
I got some great ideas, but I'll have to say that for next time. But hey, Ashok, thank you for sharing your wisdom. I'm glad to bounce some ideas off you. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Give us a call, 800-438-5121. Check it out. Subscribe if you like. We're looking forward to meeting with you next time, and we got a real good episode for you coming next week.
You have been listening to Annuity Straight Talk. The preceding information is for informational and educational purposes only and does not represent tax, legal, or investment advice. The views expressed by guests on this program are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of Annuity Straight Talk or its partners. No information presented today should be acted upon without meeting with the professional. It is important that you read all insurance contract disclosures carefully before making a purchase decision. Guarantees are based on the financial strength and claims paying ability of the insurance company.
Ashok S. Ramji is an investment advisor representative of Insight Folios, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. The firm only transacts business in states where it is notice filed or is excluded or exempted from notice filing requirements. Any fee-based financial planning and investment advisory services are offered through his association with Insight Folios, Inc. Top Planning LLC is not a registered investment advisor and is not another name under which Insight Folios provides services. Insurance products and services only are offered through Top Planning LLC. Insight Folios, Inc. and Top Planning LLC are not affiliated companies.